Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 7, where we see that your shortcomings and failures don't mean that God won't use you. If you want to serve Jesus, He will wrap you in His grace and use you in this world. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 7, with a message entitled, This is So Jesus.
And he was not the light, he was a bearer of the light. Now I know that Jesus said that we're the light of the world now that he's back in glory, but I like how there's a distinction made of these two. John, all he is he's a witness of Jesus. He's not God. He's not perfect. He's just a man. Jesus alone is Jesus and perfect. There's that distinction made. And everybody else that will ever walk this earth, including all of us here this morning, we're going to blow it sometimes. I don't know if you're used to hearing that when you go to church. It's the truth. The reality of the Christian walk is that there are going to be seasons where you are ashamed of, that you're embarrassed of, that you gave in to that moment of temptation. You weren't in the Word every day. There was not much of a prayer life. You were not serving God. Your bad times were certainly outweighing your good times in the faith. There's going to be those seasons. But if your heart is sincerely to follow after Jesus and to live for him, and you seek to recover from those seasons, the Lord is pleased with you because of grace. That's what you're supposed to see this morning, because of grace. You didn't earn it. Your good works don't outweigh your bad works. It's just simply that he's a God of grace. And you're going to be rewarded these words from Jesus when you get to glory. Well done. You were my good and you were my faithful servant because of grace. Now enter into the joy of the Lord. You go and you read through Hebrews chapter 11. If you're familiar with that, then you'll recall these things. You go read through Hebrews chapter 11. Christians call it the Hall of Faith. It's this document of all Old Testament believers in God who failed miserably, the majority of them, but yet God doesn't highlight any of their failings, but simply all of their good things that they have done. And you go see how heaven feels about some of these guys and these girls that went before us. It's outstanding. It does your soul well. Because every one of them we can relate to. You start moving through that list. We won't read through the chapter, but I'll just sort of highlight some of this for you. You go through Hebrews 11. God is boasting of his children. The first he talks about is Abel, Adam and Eve's son. And you think, yeah, of course, he deserves it. He gave God the right offering. Cain didn't. He deserves it. Okay, we'll go with that. Then you go to Enoch. He's the next one that's highlighted in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch, his testimony is dynamic. He walked with God, and then he was not, for he was taken. I mean, that's like, come on, he didn't have to live his whole life, right? I mean, that's, you might feel like that's really not fair. Give me somebody who actually struggled. Okay, the next is Noah. God puts Noah in the Hall of Faith. I was just reading about Noah in my devotions this morning. You want to know what Noah did after he got off the ark? He got drunk. He got so stupid, sloppy drunk that he was laying in his tent naked, passed out. That's what the scripture says in Genesis, I think it's chapter 9. And there's a rebuke to one out of his three sons for exposing his nakedness and his sinfulness by the God who covers sins. Ham. The message there is don't be a ham. He exposes his dad to his brothers. Japheth and Shem walk backwards with a garment on into the tent and they cover their father in his nakedness. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. I hope you're seeing this morning. You want to know what being a Christian is like? What Christ is like? He's a coverer of sins. He's a defender of those who are guilty. It doesn't make sense. We don't earn it. He's just a good, gracious Savior. That's it. This is not a complex message this morning. There's no like, where are you going with this? This is where I'm going with it. It's a consistent God that we follow and serve all the way through from Genesis onward. This is what he's like. Noah, you see that there. The next is Abraham in the Hall of Faith. Abraham and Sarah, failures. Abraham's the father of our faith, yet he falters in his faith at least twice that we know of. He tells kings that his wife is his sister because he's so nervous they're going to take her from him. He's the father of our faith. He's scared. He's the father of our faith. He's fearful. He's the father of our faith. He lies. I'm not boasting in sin this morning. I'm boasting in Jesus. I'm showing you that this is what we're like. Are you ever fearful sometimes? And then you get ripped off like, man, I shouldn't be fearful. I know God. I'm not supposed to be a slave of sin anymore. We sing that song at my church, but I'm afraid sometimes. Good. Welcome to the company. So was Abraham. So was John the Baptist. I'm not suggesting that you should stay there. I'm just saying that's part of being a man, part of being a woman. We're not the light. He's the light in the sense of he's God and he's God alone. Otherwise, why did he come? Otherwise, why do we take the bread and the juice? Because it looks spiritual, because it's ritualistic? No way. We come to celebrate this at least minimally once a month because he is what we never could be. He's done what we can never do. So we worship him, we exalt him, we lift him up, we thank him because we're all failures, saved by grace. I'm talking to the people who had a bad week this morning. I'm talking to the people who went out this past weekend. I'm talking to the people that other churches say, are you even saved? I'm talking to the people that maybe have developed a bad reputation with other folks in the community because of things that they have done, but heaven says, I don't see you that way. And you moms and dads should perfectly get it. Because if you've got kids, and I'm speaking to a lot of people who have kids here this morning, then you understand that the one thing that your kid does wrong in a day does not outshadow all the good things that they have done. All the joy that they bring you, all the love that you have for them. You don't stop loving them. Even if they disappoint you, even if they hurt you, even if they sin against you, that's your kid. God is crazy about you. He doesn't get mad at you. That's bad theology. God does not get mad at his children. He's mad about his children. He doesn't like your sin. He's not okay with your sin, and he'll deal with it if you won't deal with it because he loves you, though. Not because he's after you, not because he's trying to, you know, destroy you or ruin your life. He just wants to save you and redeem you for his purposes and his causes. But so much of the church, so many pastors are beating their sheep every week. And they're becoming like Job's friends. You're going through this. You're in that prison. You're in that situation because you're bad. God's mad at you. You've got to start reading the King James again. You got to start dressing a certain way. You got to be at every church service. And there's this trip. There's no joy. It's like this heavy laden thing, man. I've got to be a Christian. I've got to read my Bible every morning and do devotions. I've got to pray. I've got to go to church. I've got to be at midweek. I've got to be at prayer. I've got to go to youth group if I'm young. And there's all this I've got to do. You don't got to do anything. It's already been done. It's bad theology. We carry into our Christianity this reward system that our culture is driven by. If you're good, you'll get a raise. If you're good, you'll be favored by the teacher. If you do everything your coach says, you'll get the starting spot. No, in Jesus is this, the lowliest, the least, those who are he's after. And then he takes them and he puts them in the hall of faith. Not because of their behavior, but because of their belief. After Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob are grouped together. I could see why Isaac's there. I struggle with Jacob. Jacob, not Israel, Jacob. I love the Holy Spirit. He has the writer say Jacob. Jacob's name gets changed to Israel, which means governed by God. Jacob's a heel catcher. Jacob is a tricker. Jacob is a deceiver, manipulator, schemer, plotter, planner. And Jesus Christ holds him up and says he's in the hall of faith. After him is Joseph. Of course, Joseph's there. He runs away from sexual temptation and sin. He's a goody-goody, right? And some of these guys you read about, you think, man, of course he's there. But if you keep reading, there's a lot of that you think, how are they there? After Joseph is Moses. Moses is the great redeemer of the nation, but he's also a murderer. He's also hot-tempered, right? I mean, there's some crazy to Moses, isn't there? He even says, God, just kill me now if this is my ministry. He's in the hall of faith. You keep moving through this and you see that Joshua is there and you think, of course, but then you read next that Rahab's there. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that she was, because see, he sees things that are not yet. She was a harlot. She was a whore. She was promiscuous and she's in the hall of faith. That's what Jesus can do with somebody. He doesn't look at you and say, well, this is what you are. This is what you've come from. This is your background. You're disgusting. Your reputation that the world has of you. You know, what they think of you and what you think of yourself. You're darn right. You are that. You're no good. No, he says this. Oh, I'll take a whore and I'll make a virgin out of them. I'll make him a chaste virgin. I'll take somebody who's a raging alcoholic, a drunk, and I'll make them calm and still and peaceful. I can do that, Jesus would say. And I love to do that. And then I love to boast of what I've made them into being. There's no God like the God of our Bible. What he's willing to do to reach out, not just to the uttermost, but the guttermost. Trophies of grace. That's what I am. I'm a trophy of grace. Then he just goes on, and we don't have the time to do all of them, but just a few I'm skimming with my eyes right now as I look through this. I don't have him planned to bring to you, but how about Gideon? He says he's in the hall of faith. Gideon was hiding from God. Gideon was hiding from God, and then when God called him, he had excuses of why he can't be what God wanted him to be. God, he's a great man of faith. After Gideon, in the scriptures here, in verse 32, if you're following your eyes, there's Samson. Samson, the great deliverer of the nation. Samson, this great judge, so much potential. He failed. His whole life is failing, to the very end when he finally prays to God. Should have been praying to God long ago on his knees, but he's lying on Delilah's knees. Constantly reaching out for, touching things he shouldn't be touching as a Nazarite. Set apart unto the Lord. The Lord says, but he was a man of faith. This is not like us. We wouldn't look at these people and say they're good, godly people. We would look at them and say, what a mess up. What a waste of talent. God says, no, he's my son. I'm proud of him. You pastors put him on blast that in his death he killed more than all of his life for me. At least he put somebody to death that should have died. I'm proud of him. Do you know if you're trying to walk with Jesus today that the Father is proud of you? My son, when he tried riding a bike last year and he would fall or not be able to get it, something that's so simple and easy to me, I never once said to him, are you stupid? Push your foot down and then push the other foot down and ride your stinking bike. When he'd get frustrated or if he would go down or tip, I'd say, buddy, you got this. And if you don't get this, I'm still proud of you because you're trying. As long as you try, I'll be proud of you. Do you know that Father God, if he sees you trying to walk with Jesus, he's proud of you? Some of you need to hear this today. That's why we're staying here. We're not going to exhaust you with scripture today. We're staying right here. You need to hear that Father God is proud of you in Jesus' name if you're trying to walk with him. He's not disgusted by you. Your sister might be, your brother might be, your father might be, your mother might be, your boss might be, your community might be. The people in the church might be, not Father God. Father up above is looking down in love. The banner over us as his church is love. He gave his son for us knowing that we were going to constantly fail and blow it. Seasons of doubt, seasons of depression, season of sin. He knew it. That's why he gave his son. The Bible says he pities us knowing that we're just dust. The Bible says that we have a high priest in Jesus that's acquainted with all of our temptations. He gets it. He knows how hard it is. Your God became one of you. Other religions teach, how can you become your God? Our Bible teaches this. Our God became one of us. So when you say, man, God, I'm trying to be single and walk with you, and it's so hard, I fall into sexual sin. Jesus says this, I know. I did it for 33 years, and I never gave in once. I get it. But I'm not saying I never gave in once haughtily. I'm saying it like empathetically. I get it. I'm proud of you. All those nights of staying in and all those weekends of abstaining from sexual temptation are not outweighed, Jesus says, by the one time that you did give in. That's not the case. That's your own mentality. That's the world's ideology, not proper biblical theology. You used to drink every weekend and during the week. You haven't drank in months. And then this past weekend, wherever you were, you had a drink or two or three. Now you think, man, that's all done, all the good that I did. Jesus says, no, it's not. You don't have what it takes. I get it. I'm proud of you. Now let's do better again. Let's keep going. To the woman who's in the act of adultery, John chapter 8, she's dragged to Jesus at the temple steps. The people that are trying to bust Jesus and find a glitch in his sermons and his message, they say, what are you going to do about this girl? Moses says, we should stone her. What are you going to do? He gets down. Starts drawing in the sand. It's only speculation what he drew, so we won't even waste our time. All we know is from the oldest to the youngest, stones drop, and they walk away. Jesus looks at her. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? She says, there are none, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Now go and sin no more. The only one who had a right to take a boulder and smash it in her head was Jesus Christ. And he says, I don't condemn you. Consistent with John 3, Jesus is not coming to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. David is next after that. We think David, yeah, he's the giant slayer. He's the psalmist. He wrote so many scriptures. I love David. Do you? David was crazy. David was a hitman. David was a murderer, for sure. He was beyond Uriah. He killed so many people that God said, you can't build me a temple. You've got bloody hands. You're a murderer. He was an adulterer. And with adultery comes a slew of lies. I mean, you're a liar. You're so many things. You're all of those things. The New Testament says, David, hall of faith, a man after my heart. I just want you to see that this morning. I don't want this to be too complex. I want to keep it really simple. John fails. Jesus says he's the greatest. All these people I just showed you, the majority, they failed. They had blemishes, they had indents, they had scars. There was ugliness to their lives. That's the reality of being a human being. We all have it, right? We all have it. We all have things we're ashamed of. We all have things that we're embarrassed of. They don't keep Jesus from loving us. They don't keep Jesus from using us. And they don't keep Jesus from assessing us as good and faithful because of grace. So we celebrate grace today. We just thank Jesus for who he is and his love for us and his affection toward us. That he likes us. That he desires us. That he wants us. It's amazing to me. Because the word that Jesus gives to the disciples to go tell John is not this. It's rather, go and tell John his expectations were off. The only obligation to expectation fulfilling is me to scriptures. And I've done that. Remind him of Isaiah. Tell him that the deaf hear. Tell him that the blind see. Tell him that the lepers are made clean. Tell him that the lame are walking. Tell him the dead have been raised. But then when the people leave, John doesn't get any of that. The crowd does. Did Jesus sense scorning? For sure. Did Jesus sense maybe a man in the crowd that thought, great. Jesus is mad at John. John's in the dungeon. He's what Herod. Herod's going to kill him. Herod's nuts. This is going to be awesome. I'll be the new John. I'm going to get buddy-buddy with Jesus. Jesus says, whoever's thinking that way, he's the greatest. Don't you dare talk trash about my big cousin John. Don't you dare start assessing him as a failure because of this one blunder. The man has been dynamic. What did you come out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind? No way. You didn't come out to see a man pleaser. You didn't see some guy who's bendable and flexible. You came to see an oak tree. You came to see an ox. You came to see somebody who was unyielding and unbending to the culture. That's what you came to see. Would you come out here to see a guy that's decked out in Armani suits? No, you came to see a man who was dressed in layman's clothes, camel clothes. That's what you came out to see. And you heard a faithful message from him. Every time he was at church, every Sunday preaching to you people, every single week, don't you dare take that one lapse of faith and say that that's what he is. He's a failure now because of it, because that's not how heaven sees him. Amazing. And the only way you're here this morning, not just in all of this, is if you have not yet failed big time. But it's coming. I promise you, it is coming. None of us are making it out through this life without failing. Listen, as much as you're purpose-driven, as much as you're positive thinking, positive confession only, whatever, you're going to fail. I promise you, I will fail. We're all going to fail. And it's only by grace, constantly, that we're going to make it home. So if you're here today, you had a bad day already. Oh, gee, it's only 12. You already had a bad day. You had a bad Saturday night, you had a bad Friday night, you've had a bad week, you've had a bad month. What do? You just come running to Jesus, get real with Jesus, get honest with Jesus, and just be a recipient of grace. Leave here what you brought in today. Just leave it at the altar. You were not designed by God to be able to bear the heaviness of your sins. You can't handle it. If I came up here every Sunday bearing my sins, I would be preaching like this. I'm not even kidding with you guys. I'd be preaching so, I'd hunch back and so monotone. And Elijah the Tishbite, he was the, I would be so dull. I couldn't do it. It's too heavy. I have to, by faith, I have to appropriate the scriptures and believe that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I got to leave it there. I've got to take Romans 8:1 and I got to make it mine. I have to. I can't go on. I have to take, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I've got to put a period there and I got to move on. I have to. I have to believe that because today I'm going to accumulate a whole new series of sins. And if I hold on to all my other sins, and then I stay in these new sins, and then the sins that are coming tomorrow, I'm going to drown. I'm not trying to drown in a sea of sinfulness. I'm trying to drown in a sea of grace, where all I see is grace everywhere, and I thank the Lord. And listen, this is not going to, you don't come up to me after and tell me that people are going to sin now, because no, that's not what's going to happen if people's hearts are sincere. Because see, God doesn't have to threaten us to make us walk with him. It's his goodness. Romans 2:4, it's his goodness, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Who wants to sin against a God like this? You know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to run through walls for him. It makes me want to stand on rooftops and tell the whole world about Jesus. I was asked to preach, some of you are seeing on posters, on Facebook, whatever, social media. I was asked to preach at Seabreeze. I don't know when, soon. July 1st. With a bunch of other Rochester pastors. You know why the only reason why I said yes to that? I didn't even really say yes, but I'm on the poster, so I guess I'm going to be preaching there. The only reason that I'm going to go and do that is because of the God that I get to give out. Because it ain't church. I'm going to a place where people aren't going to hear about God. And the only confidence that I have is yelling in that microphone about a God who saves and loves and forgives and delivers and restores and mends and makes whole, and it's all for free. It's not cheap. It costs heaven everything, but it's free. Free to those who believe on his name. It's amazing. Isn't he amazing?
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's go!